are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode for Thursday, November 21st, and the dreadful season continues for the Detroit Pistons. It's your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to run down the details from Wednesday night in Chicago, three takeaways from another loss by the pathetic Detroit Pistons. We're also going to talk uniforms a little bit later on. You guys know how much I love to talk about uniforms. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. But hey, in a pretty decent mood, I guess conflicted mood tonight, because I'm up late. We're doing this starting right now. I'm recording at 1 o'clock in the morning. And you know why? Because I was up watching those Clippers and Celtics. Too much replays, as we all know. But it went to overtime and an enjoyable basketball game to watch. And two guys, I just tweeted this out a little while ago, two guys stood out to me other than the obvious. But as a Detroit Pistons fan, I noticed Marcus Smart and Pat Beverly scratching and clawing, doing every little thing it took to win games, and definitely did not see that and never see that from the damn Detroit Pistons, who lost, surprisingly, 109-89 in Chicago to the Bulls. Pistons now 1-5 against bad teams, the fifth straight loss for this horrible team right now. Pistons dropped to 4-10 and now tied with the Cleveland Cavaliers and Atlanta Hawks for second to last in the East, two teams that are aggressively rebuilding, tanking, whatever you want to call it. Not the same thing. We'll get into that. But one half game ahead of the New York Knicks and also trailing the Golden State Warriors for last in the NBA right now. So tied for third last in the NBA, tied for second last in the Eastern Conference. Golden State already 3-13, aggressively bad, which is a good move for them to kind of take a year off, rebuild, retool, and they should be back strong next year. Definitely not the case for these Pistons, who are staring into the abyss, not even trying to go backwards, but going backwards while trying to go forwards. And like I said, no confidence that this front office is going to do the right thing or ownership or anything like that. So rosy times here in Pistons land. But to check out the tankathon standings and to see where the Pistons were at with draft times, just to kind of humor you guys a little bit, I ran the simulator one time on tankathon.com, and the Pistons ended up getting the sixth pick in what looks to be about a five-player draft with Anthony Edwards, Cole Anthony, James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball, and R.J. Hampton kind of the headliners there. Although maybe the Israeli kid makes it a little bit deeper than that. I haven't seen enough of the high-end guys yet to even know if this draft is worth even caring too much about, but we'll see as time goes on. I'm not really a big November college basketball guy. It kind of hurts my eyes, to be honest, but I'll get around to checking out the best guys as the season goes on and report back to you guys as I do. Although it will be a while before anyone's able to check out James Wiseman of Memphis again, the long suspension into January for him because of his NCAA misdealings, another issue altogether. But a word to the wise about tanking. I saw a lot of the tank tweets out there as we tweet about how unwatchable and terrible that this Pistons team is. I've been in favor of a rebuild for a while now, aggressively in favor of it for a few weeks as we see the kind of fruits of this season. But a tank and a rebuild are two different things, and it's some topic that we'll get into and continue to talk about as this long season continues. But I guess some highlights, some stats, mostly bad, but a little bit of good. Derrick Rose, 18 points on Wednesday night. I can't decide if he played decent. I guess we'll say he played decent, but good for him to get a good stat line. In another homecoming for Derrick Rose in Chicago, Blake Griffin had 16 points and 8 rebounds, 4 of 15 from the field. Obviously the worst game I've seen him play in a while. We'll get into that a little bit later, the worst of his three games in a Pistons uniform so far this season. Luke Kennard had 14 points. I thought he actually played very poorly despite getting 14 points in this one. 13 points for Langston Galloway, who played a good couple of minutes to start the game, but somehow ended up playing 40 minutes of action in a complete blowout. Don't know how Svi can't get more than 15 minutes, but anyway, 40 freaking minutes for Langston Galloway. But playing well so far this season, knocking it down. A guy the Pistons should be looking to trade, as we know. But 12-10 for Christian Wood. Really the one Piston that I would definitively say played a good game in this one. Andre Drummond, 6 points and 14 rebounds. Fouled out again. Marcus Morris played 5 minutes and then got hurt, seems like, as reported by the guys in the post-game interview. Pulled from the game in the first half, did not return. Injuries piling up for the Pistons as Tony Snell did not play in this one. Kyrie Thomas and Reggie Jackson, of course, did not play either. Hot shooting for the Chicago Bulls was part of the undoing for the Pistons in this one. Glancing up and pulling up the box score as we speak, but the Bulls, who got 24 points from Lauri Markkanen in a strong game for him, as he kind of outdueled the front court opponents of Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin in this one. Wendell Carter, 12 points and 15 rebounds in a nice game for him. Shaq Harrison from Kansas City, a guy that I like out of Tulsa, covered him playing in the Paradise Jam basketball tournament in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands a few years ago. That tournament is starting on Friday, by the way. Check that one out. Support the Virgin Islands. But the Bulls finish 14 of 27 from three-point land, 52% there, and the Pistons 8 of 33 from three-point land, 24%. A big story in this game, obviously, but the Pistons, as I tweeted earlier, cannot possibly blame a hot shooting team on them losing to a hot shooting team as the Pistons entered with the best three-point percentage in the NBA, number one, and came in at 4-9 anyway, but dropped to 4-10 going up against a hot shooting team. Just no excuses for this group right now, who return home on Friday to play the Atlanta Hawks and then play at Minnesota on Saturday. Next week they got home for Orlando on Monday and then a home-and-home with Charlotte on Wednesday and Friday, wrapped around Thanksgiving, starting in the Queen City on Wednesday, back in Detroit on Friday night. Again, another easy type of schedule. Four games that you should win and a fifth game against Milwaukee on the road. Again, no expectations that's actually going to happen. I don't know. Maybe they win one of these five. It's hard to say. It's hard to see this team beating anybody at this point. And, you know, maybe it's a good thing. We'll talk big picture as the season kind of goes on, but I've got the three big takeaways for you guys coming up from Wednesday night's loss in Chicago. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, attention past, present, and future MyBookie players. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears and Lions game. And what a game it will be. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. And if you win, congrats. You get extra holiday cash. If you lose, congrats as well. MyBookie will give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk. All gravy. Oh, gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer. MyBookie welcomes all to come play. So quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to sports bet but have a lot of questions? Don't sweat that. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process. And the best part is, if you join during Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll, and that's on top of the risk-free Bears-Lions bet. Let me repeat, that's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. What a holiday, what a day here in Detroit. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply cannot lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. Bet against the Lions. You play, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we are going to talk about the new City Edition uniforms for the Detroit Pistons. You know how much I love to talk about fashion and uniforms. It's the most important thing about basketball, in my opinion. So we'll give our thoughts about them a little bit later on and a little bit about the reaction to them that I saw from some of you guys on Twitter. But let's go with my three most important takeaways from the game. I still can't decide if these are in ascending order or descending order because I confuse myself by counting down the third most important to the second most important to the first most important. So you got descending numbers but ascending order of importance. So, man, I just don't know how this works. Maybe we'll have this all figured out by the end of the season. But the third most important takeaway is, you know what? I think maybe we need to cancel the Andre Drummond MVP campaign and possibly Defensive Player of the Year campaigns. Wouldn't you know it, after he was setting the world on fire for about seven games, Andre Drummond went ahead and had his fifth straight miserable game on Wednesday night. 6 points and 14 rebounds, fouled out again. Five straight losses for the team, five straight crap games for Andre Drummond, and I'll call six of his last seven games absolutely dreadful. So far, like I said, I'll agree with you guys, he was very good for the first seven games of the season. Still continues to play passable defense even lately. Big block shot that I thought was going to spark this team a little bit in the second quarter in this one on a dunk attempt, I believe, by one of the Chicago players. Real clean job by Drummond there, but just not enough being done by him. I know that he was not looked to in the offense at all, pretty much, and that's not his fault. But we know that the Andre Drummond offense of him being the hub is not a great answer anyway. He did a passable job at being a bad option and trying to make the best of it with the Blake Griffin out and Derrick Rose out earlier in the season as well. But we know that that's not a great offense that you want to lean on at this point in his career or any kind of career that Andre Drummond's ever going to have. So, yeah, maybe we quiet a little bit of the All-NBA candidacy, the MVP fringe candidacy that a lot of you guys were talking about. Maybe he's not the defensive player of the year as well, too. So calm down on that. Second, Blake Griffin. Now, this is kind of an elephant in the room from this game. Looks a little bit different right now, as we know, heavily wrapped up with that left leg and left knee. And this is really, you know what Blake Griffin reminded me of tonight's game? He reminded me of the player that they got the season that when they traded for him. Those 18 games or so, he looked stiff. He doesn't look right. The injury issues, we know. But I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach on Blake Griffin right now. I'm not going to say, hey, sit him down for another few weeks quite yet. I'm going to say that maybe there's a chance that it's just a conditioning issue right now, as far as the leaping and the overall conditioning. And I think that sometimes we see it, we see Blake moving around kind of slowly, but I would caution and think back that even when he was playing very well, obviously last year, that I don't think that he wasn't an explosive player last year. My point is that the athleticism isn't really all that much different for him when he's not looking great and he's not and he was looking pretty good for his standards or where his new standard is last year. So, but that's a big problem when you're Blake and you've moved into a new phase of your career where you're more of a crafty guy, you're more of an old man player out there. And when you lose, okay, so if he at the peak of last year is at, like, let's say 73% of what he was athletically in his rookie year when he was a high-flying marvel. If he's dropped down to Wednesday night because of injuries, maybe because of lack of conditioning, if he's down to like 61% of where he was, or maybe 58% of where he was when he was a rookie, that 10%, 11, 12% difference is going to be a big one, because at 73%, he wasn't even getting by on athleticism. He was kind of like he was playing smarter and playing more efficient to make up for the fact that he's not really that athletic freak anymore. Obviously still able to use his strength, and if his conditioning is at that peak or close to that peak of what it was a year ago, maybe he can continue to use that strength, play a little bully ball, and just figure out ways to get smarter and pass the ball a little bit better. And in his defense, the Chicago Bulls are a team that goes pretty big and pretty athletic and pretty young on the front line. Laurie Markkanen's a tough guy to cover and to jump around with in the post, because Andre Drummond's dealing with a Thad Young or a Wendell Carter. It's an unusually big team for today's NBA. Now, I know the Pistons should be feasting on regular-sized teams and should match up pretty well against unusually big teams, because the Pistons are an unusually big team themselves. But if Blake's not right, he might get exposed by some of those younger and bigger and taller, not wider, but taller and more athletic players. So bad matchup plus possible conditioning issues, especially at game speed. We're going to give Blake Griffin a pass on this one, and I know the Andre Drummond fans that have a little something up their butt for Blake Griffin might be not happy to hear that from me, more of a Blake Griffin defender in the world of the Locked On Pistons podcast. But I'm going to give him a pass and see how things come together with his season. We give other players coming off of injury breaks as they kind of get their feet wet a little bit. So I'm not saying shut him down, but if we're having the same conversation 2 weeks from now, there would might be some merit in shutting Blake Griffin down till maybe the start of the year or something like that, so we can get him going for a few weeks and get him to start looking good and healthy when it's time to pull the trigger on the trade that I think a lot of us would like to see this February, or at the very least, this summer. But let's go to the first one, the most important takeaway from this game, and let's kind of turn it around and get a little positive, because I tell you what, I was driving over to the Lions facility today, and you know I'm never in a great state of mind when I'm heading over to Allen Park to go cover the most miserable NFL franchise that anyone can imagine. This is, I thought about the fact that the Pistons are 4-9 and going into Chicago to play a team, a bad team that they've already lost to. Again, I'll point out that the Pistons are now 1-5 against bad teams, with the win against the Knicks, the two losses to the Chicago Bulls, the Atlanta Hawks, the Washington Wizards, and the Charlotte Hornets. Five really bad teams that the Pistons, or five games against four really bad teams that the Pistons have already lost in the Eastern Conference. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to come out. If they lose this game to the Bulls, I'm going to come out on this podcast on Thursday morning when people download it and wake it up and just make the declaration, make the bold claim, although it's really not that bold. These Pistons will not make the playoffs this year. At 4-10, there's just against the soft part of the schedule. We're talking about West Coast trips, good teams, more tough stuff after the All-Star break. The hole is just too big. And this team, you heard it here first on the Locked On Pistons podcast, they are not making the playoffs. Now, I'm actually not saying that. And now, this is not me saying they are going to make the playoffs. My prediction right now is certainly that the Pistons are not making the playoffs. But I'm not guaranteeing it. I'm not making the bold claim that this is something that's definitely not going to happen. Again, the 4-10 start has changed my, from preseason, me saying this team would make the playoffs, to right now, my head would say that this team is definitely not making the playoffs. However, not making the guarantee, not saying it's out of the question now at this point. And the only reason is because the East is so damn bad. It's the worst. The Pistons at 4-10 are tied with the Atlanta Hawks and Cleveland Cavaliers for second to last place in the Eastern Conference, just a half game out of the last place position in the East, owned permanently right now by the New York Knicks, hopefully permanently if you're a Pistons fan. But almost amazingly, in terms of this, how bad things have gone for the Pistons, is how bad the East is. The Pistons are just two games out of the seventh place spot, the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs, which is a tie right now between Brooklyn and I believe Charlotte, although I'm not going to look that up. And that doesn't mean they win two games and they're in, because when you're two games back, obviously a win is only a half game difference between the team ahead of you. And they've got to jump all sorts of teams. But it's just a pile of crap right now between seven and all the way to the bottom of the East. This is like as bad of an Eastern Conference as I can remember. Now, the top five collectively, it might be a little bit stronger than your top group was last year or maybe even some prior years. But what a pile of crap the Eastern Conference is. And again, I'm not going to make the bold claim that the Pistons are definitely not making the playoffs, but I will make the bold claim that this year in particular, it really doesn't matter. I think that the Pistons should not make a decision or a non-decision at the end of January or early part of February based on the fact that they're a game out or two games out or a game into the playoffs or two games into the playoffs. That should not really be part of the consideration at all. You should be making deals for a retool, a rebuild. Some of you guys want to tank. I don't agree with that. But just proceed with the rebuild however it should go, however you think the future of the franchise should look, regardless of the eighth spot or the seventh spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But again, we've got a lot of time to figure this out. Maybe this team makes a big turnaround when they get healthy and gets healthily into the playoffs by mid-January. Again, I don't see this happening. I'm not predicting it by any means. But maybe there's some other things we can consider at that time. And there's, sadly enough, a long winter to think about it for Detroit Pistons fans and to talk about here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. A lot of time to figure out, change our minds from here and there until the February trade deadline. And we'll, you know, you should still be asking around starting on December 15th about some trades, selling on Langston Galloway, an expiring contract who could be very valuable to some teams that need some shooting. And the Pistons should go ahead and free up those minutes if they can, and not be thinking about how much Langston can help in March or a possible first-round playoff series. Who cares? Just make the deal. let's get this wheels motion and start a new phase of Pistons basketball. But be monitoring things from December 15th and start making some of those moves at the end of January or before if a team really wants to make those deals. But Audible, speaking of deals, has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. Are you listening to us on the go right now? If you can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Again, that's lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Everything you need to know to do all of your Christmas shopping. Speaking of Christmas shopping, we got a good one for you. Some uniform talk coming up next and a great deal from the Pistons to get some tickets and those jerseys that you very much love. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, the long-awaited City Edition uniforms popped off from the Pistons. They announced them on social media several minutes before they were unveiled on the Pistons live pregame show on Fox Sports Detroit. Red uniforms, but a bright red, kind of reminiscent of those red alternates that the Chauncey Billups crew used to wear. But the blue racing stripes right down the chest, Blake Griffin modeling them for us, and Andre Drummond on the TV and in some pictures that were provided as well. I don't like them. I don't think they're good at all. And I know that when they were kind of leaked, there was the photo of them on Twitter that was being passed around, I believe at a Champs sports store, and everyone hated them from when they saw them. But my critique of them is that it's weird that the racing stripes run down the front, and I know that it's trying to give you the old Mustangs and the old classic car look. But when I think of the old classic cars, I think of red and black. But, you know, I guess you want to have the appropriate colors of the team. And the red uniforms, a little bit reminiscent of a better time in Pistons basketball. Also notice that while the racing stripes go down the jerseys, the trim, the stripes are back to the side like they are in regular basketball shorts. So it's a little bit strange to have them just kind of the racing stripes run down to the folded of the jersey and then kind of take a turn to the side of the legs there. But I guess it would have been strange to have those racing stripes all the way down to the crotch. So maybe they made the right move there, maybe they didn't. But it looks a little disjointed. Not a big fan of it, especially when, like I said, everyone in the world wants to see the teal uniforms, but they've got that stupid rule where you can only do throwbacks in a year of every five. So we got to wait until that coveted 80th year of the Fort Wayne Pistons starting 3 years from now so we can finally get the teal jerseys that everyone wants. And whose rule was it? Is it something that was passed by the United States legislature that the Supreme Court upheld when the Pistons and the NBA appealed it recently? No. It's the NBA's own damn rule, but owner Tom Gores couldn't go to the NBA, or no one from the NBA could be flexible enough to say, hey, we've got this miserable franchise in Detroit that have been giving the crap to the fans to watch and digest and buy for the last 10 years. Can we give them a break and just get rid of this stupid every five years throwback rule that we haven't even taken advantage of lately and say that maybe we can just do it this one off summer and just kind of have these teal jerseys come? And I'm not a huge, I don't care about jerseys, but I know a lot of you guys want them. And we need a little bit of happiness here in Detroit sports. And if a few games of the throwback teals and the ability to go buy yourself a Svi Mykhailiuk teal jersey is something that's going to make you happy, or go out and buy that Christian Wood number 35 teal jersey, if that's going to make you happy, then that should be something that the Pistons and the NBA should come up with and do. But no, the Pistons screwed that one up and have to wait until some random anniversary of the Fort Wayne Pistons to make it happen. But just some more details about the uniforms. Check out Rod Beard's story. He had kind of the scoop on it in the Detroit News and then DetNews.com. He talked about how with the Nike presented the Pistons with the designs for the City Edition uniforms, and they kind of rattled around the front office and talked to some select fans as well, by the way, and decided on these as opposed to the same type of design but the alternate colors, so the blue with the red racing stripes. And another design that was apparently mentioned in Rod's article would have been a black uniform with a red and blue racing stripe. And of course, I think that would have been the worst of the worst, so I'm glad that they're not going with those. And like I said, check out Rod's article for more. So if you haven't seen these red ones or you don't know what you think yet, you're going to figure out really soon if you like it, because the Pistons are going to wear them 17 damn times this year. And if they make the playoffs like we saw last year, they tried it out, the black and the silvers last year. So if they do, we'll have those miserable uniforms on the national televised audience again. These ones will debut on Black Friday, Friday, November 29th, at home against the Charlotte Hornets, and then right after that on December 1st at home against the San Antonio Spurs. So it's going to come fast, it's going to come furious, and it's going to come 17 damn times this season as the Pistons. And like was mentioned on the broadcast, pretty cool deal. You can get a three-ticket package with some pretty good games. Check out Pistons.com for those. You can get the uniform and the three games, which I believe were the Nuggets and the Celtics and someone else as well. So some pretty good possible dates for tickets for those ones. Love the deals the Pistons marketing staff comes up with. They do a pretty good job of trying to fill up Little Caesars Arena, because we know that the team doesn't do a good job of that right now. But let's maybe calm down a little bit and get Friday's podcast going. We'll preview the Atlanta Hawks in the opening matchup this year with the Milwaukee Bucks. That should go really well, as you can imagine. But we'll talk Hawks, we'll talk Bucks, and maybe simmer down a little bit and talk with a little bit more of a clear head about this team going into a 4-10 weekend right now. And we'll see what we can come up with some positivity for Friday's show here on the Locked On Pistons Podcast. Your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening. Talk to you guys tomorrow.